Welcome to the New Earth Architectress, where you'll discover how the evolution in consciousness is paving the way for your leading role in architecture. If you're a high-achieving, spirit-conscious woman architect who's hearing the deep call to bridge spirit with form, welcome. Now is the time, and we are the ones. Welcome to the next episode of the New Earth Architectress podcast. My name is Aisha Rose Melody Hassan, and I'm an architect, alchemical healer, and the creator of the Sacred Blueprint. This is a cutting-edge vessel of courses and programs for property owners, land stewards, women architects who are longing to birth the sanctuaries of our new earth, and are longing to do it by bridging spirit with form. Today, I want to talk about spiritual architecture. And before I started this recording, I thought, oh my goodness, this is a vast topic, and I'm certainly going to record a series of episodes on this topic. And I mean, where do we begin? Do we begin with the pyramids in ancient Egypt, in the Giza Plateau? Do we begin with the temples along the Nile in Egypt? Do we begin with Chartres Cathedral in France? Do we begin with the Shinto temples in Japan? Do we begin with, oh my goodness, some of the most pure, beautiful churches in medieval Europe? Do we begin with the great mosques in Isfahan in Iran? Do we begin with the Blue Mosque in the Sultanahmet district in Istanbul, or the Hagia Sophia in Istanbul? There are so many places we could begin this conversation. And I haven't even mentioned in these examples some of the contemporary examples of spiritual architecture. And many architects are breaking the boundaries about of spiritual architecture, especially when it comes to quote-unquote religious structures, mosques, churches, synagogues. I think of the Baha'i temple in, I think it's in Costa Rica. This is an amazing project by Hariri Ponta. Oh, goodness. I think they're a Toronto firm too. Pontariri architects. The Baha'i temple in Costa Rica, it's made out of cast glass. This is a great example of advancements in tectonics, in materiality, really beautiful structure. With, as a spiritual architect, someone who's deeply invested and devoted to birthing truly authentic architecture that is appropriate for our times and appropriate for where we are headed as a collective, appropriate for supporting the highest unfoldment of humanity, the highest nourishment of humanity, the highest empowerment of humanity. I think that temple really does do a lot of good things, and I would argue that there's some missing pieces to creating a balanced work of architecture, and this is not something that is necessarily coming from a strict rule book, but it is a knowing and a knowledge that there are certain essential parts to architecture, spiritual architecture, and actually, in fact, all kinds of architecture that must be present to ensure that it is really a divine expression of the four elements. You could also say the five elements the fifth being Akasha, the fifth being ether. I've been having a conversation about that with, I don't remember actually who it was. One of my clients, I think. And we were tapping into the energy of the heart connected to the fifth element. And maybe there's even more elements. It's the new world. We think it's important that we begin each day as if it's a new day, and that anything is possible. But when it comes to these essential elements for spiritual architecture, I'll give you an example. First of all, it's important that the building has a proper base. And it has a proper midsection, and it has a proper top section. Actually, I want to naturally find, just give me a moment here. Naturally find. What I mean by that is I'm naturally gravitating towards one of Rudolf Steiner's books. You know me, I'm a Steiner student. I refer to his work a lot. And there's a part where he's talking about the Greek column. And in fact, we've been doing so much dissecting as architects. I think it was Vitruvius too, dissecting of the parts of ancient Greek architecture, for example. And I don't think that he directly said this, but I can say after many years of studying anthroposophic architecture and also the impulses behind spiritual architecture through my observations, when humanity started to fall into deep, dark materialism and lost their connection to spirit, they started to analyze architecture as a series of parts, almost like a scientific dissecting process. And, you know, the Greek column, Ionic, Doric. Tell me which one I'm missing. I know some of you know. Corinthian. They're analyzing the proportions, the mathematics behind it, the optics, the very ingenious and sophisticated optics behind the temple construction, the base, the pillars, right? All of it, right? But there's this tendency to break it up into parts too much and not understand actually how the column is deeply connected to the base and deeply connected to the beam, the forces that it's holding and the forces actually that it's supporting, both bearing and supporting, pushing up. So there's these two forces that are moving. I think I'll put up some images up on the screen after I do the editing with my assistant of this video so that you can see what I'm talking about, some of the examples. In any case, a good example of this is the Ionic column has these spirals, right, at the top. And I think for the most part, yeah, when we were studying in Rome, I went to the University of Waterloo, a great school in Canada for architecture, and we had a study period in Rome, 4 months. Yes, there were moments where we could go deeper into feeling and experiencing the power of the ancient architecture. You know, I remember we went to Pompeii, but we didn't go past a kind of aesthetic, poetic explanation to the architecture, or let's say mathematical proportional, right? Golden mean, all of that. When we take it a notch deeper, okay, what in fact is going on with the spiral at the top of the Ionic column is that it's an indication of the forces, the invisible forces at play in the architecture. So when you have a beam, you have a weight, and it's pressing down on top of the ionic column, the top of the column, what ends up happening is that there's this upward moving force, which actually naturally spirals to counteract it. That's what appears. So in ancient Greece, the masters, the master builders could see these invisible forces. And it was like, I'm just seeing like an ode. It's almost like an ode, a celebration of these invisible forces. And it was important for them to depict them and sculpt them in physical form. Likewise with the base, right? It fans out. Yes, it physically helps to have a fanning out base, but there's a distribution of energetic forces also that's occurring there. So that's a really good example. I mean, if you smoke a cigarette or something and you blow the smoke out, right? And you put your finger through the smoke, you're going to see these spirals. Or when you're stirring your latte or your cappuccino, you can see these spirals forming. These are actually the elements expressing themselves, the water, the air element expressing themselves in physical form. And so the ancient Greek masters knew how to express this. Does it mean that we have to do, this is not me telling you that every column needs to be an ionic column for the future architecture. Please don't misunderstand me here. But it's about seeing the inner world of forces at play and expressing them on the outside. It's really a high art to be able to do this. I think Rudolf Steiner was able to do it, and many other architects. I can't think of off the top of my head. Again, this is like, I'm going to say foreplay for spiritual architecture 101. So there'll be more videos and recordings on this topic. So that's one piece that I think is really important. I also will show you a project that I've been birthing for some time, a spiritual center with a community around it. I'm really excited to share with you. So I'm going to do that as well in today's episode. What else do I want to talk about? Spiritual architecture isn't only religious architecture. So if you actually search on YouTube spiritual architecture, you're not going to find that much actually. Or maybe I just didn't do a deep enough search, but generally spiritual architecture is associated with religion. And I think that sure, this is fine. You're going to see spiritual architecture of churches, mosques, synagogues, Buddhist temples, all different kinds of faiths. These Shinto temples, and we can learn a lot from these spaces, because within these spaces, especially if they were built by master builders like Chartres, for example, Chartres Cathedral, within them hold the keys and the codes for humanity's evolution and awakening, but also are a reflection of where we are at in our evolution in consciousness. And so the architecture is an outward expression of that. There was this time I hope I get it right. I always confuse the 20th and the 21st century, but in and around where Gaudi, I know that there's a different way of saying it in Basque. Gaudi, Anton Gaudi, the amazing organic architect. There was a period of just incredible creativity that creative souls that blessed humanity with their buildings, with their architecture. and he was one of them. And so he's a really good example to study and watch how he's created spiritual architecture. I would say, though, that it's also, his work is also an indication of a little bit of starting to copy nature. And this is, we can see this at the most extreme level with biomimicry, with, there's another word. I'll just leave it at biomimicry. For me, biomimicry is actually not spiritual. Yes, we can learn from nature's forms, but there's a risk, there's a danger of always trying to copy the actual physical form of a plant or something else. I mean, it's not as risky as all the dead cookie cutter suburban homes that were, you know, that developers are building and people are getting sick in. So, you know, if I had to choose, I would choose biomimicry for sure. But because there's always something to learn, even within biomimicry. So I don't want to be all black and white with what I'm sharing. But from the spiritual, deep spiritual perspective, there's an issue I feel with always trying to copy nature, because at a high level, actually, and we're going to be increasingly doing this as we evolve, I feel already some of the beings, humans, are already doing this on another plane. Is we actually co-create with nature on a higher plane. We co-create the forms. So we're actually part of the sacred studio up in the cosmos, creating nature with the devas. So there are, let me just put it simply for now, and this is a whole other topic that we could dive into at another time. There are certain forms that are appropriate for plants. There are certain forms that are appropriate for animals. There are certain forms that are appropriate for human beings and minerals. And then, of course, we can also start to get even more detailed. There are certain forms that are appropriate for certain cultures and certain regions around the world. And there are certain forms, yeah, that are appropriate, obviously, for certain climates, etc. So it's really important to know that there are some fundamentals regarding spiritual architecture, and we can also take it to the healing and wellness realm, right? There are certain proportions, certain forms that activate and awaken, and you could say balance out the subconscious, the conscious, and the superconscious realms, the physical, the etheric, and the astral. And then we could go even higher to, what is it, Atma, Buddhi. If any of you are Steiner followers out there. And of course, this is not just Steiner information. This is ancient spiritual knowledge from many different cultures. But coming down to more grounded examples here, the architecture really does need to speak to the human being when we're talking about architecture for humans, and speaks to where we are headed in our evolution. All right, so I'm going to leave this at that. What I want to do is show you an example of what's possible with the sacred blueprint. The sacred blueprint, for those of you who are watching my video and listening to my podcast for the first time, welcome to my universe. This is what a lot of women architects especially have been telling me these days. When they first discovered me, they're like, I'm so excited I discovered your universe. Well, it's our universe. So welcome to the universe. Welcome to my temple. Welcome to the Sacred Blueprint Temple. And I'm really, it's my honor and privilege to serve you and to share this wisdom and knowledge, the wisdom and knowledge that you hold already in your heart and you've been carrying for eons and eons. Make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel and subscribe to my podcast so that you receive the notifications for the new episodes that I post with my assistant. So I'm going to share this project, and this is a project that's birthed through the Sacred Blueprint. It is a result of a co-creation with my spirit guides and Mother Earth. This is a vision for a 3D printed hempcrete temple with cast glass. I'm going to show you now in a moment. And just for those of you who don't know what the Sacred Blueprint is, this is a modality, a system that I have developed in co-creation with Mother Earth and the sacred elements. And it is a revolution, a movement to pioneer the future architecture. And it is a system that is radically different from the conventional architecture practice, which depleted me severely. And I came out of the conventional practice treating my chronic illness and really purging the programming and the programming that told me I needed to work like a machine, over design, overwork. And that realm is severely lacking the what I feel and know to be true is feminine magic and the world of intuition. And so I boldly quit my job in conventional architecture to pave a new way, and I downloaded the keys and the codes for the Sacred Blueprint. And now I'm joyfully leading property owners, land stewards through this incredible system. And it's just absolutely magical what comes through for their properties. They know where the sweet spot of their dream home needs to be located. We do land harmonization. We do telepathic visioning together. I guide them through a sacred journey. And now what's super exciting is that I am starting this year for the first time in June, a certification program for women architects who hear the call to bridge spirit with form and build a flourishing practice. Build a flourishing practice and attract divinely aligned clients who love paying them for their intuitive gifts. And they're going to learn the Sacred Blueprint system, and we're going to pioneer this movement together and birth these sanctuaries together. So I'm so excited. As a taster, I have a free webinar called Unlock Your Spirit Architect Mastery. The sign-up link is below, and in that webinar, I talk about the Sacred Blueprint Sweet Spot Profit Map, and this is going to help you to position yourself. If you're a woman architect who's hearing the call, it's going to help you to position yourself as a leader in high demand, and I'm going to show you and tell you why your gifts are now actually the gifts that AI cannot replace, and why you need to leverage those intuitive gifts to start to bridge spirit with form openly. There's so much to talk about there. It's an incredible webinar. It was supposed to be 90 minutes, but it went over. So about 102 minutes. I lead a powerful meditation where you meet your spirit guide and your own sacred temple. And I'm getting shivers actually even just talking about it. I highly recommend you sign up for that free webinar and set aside a good chunk of your time. Book it in your schedule. Say your sacred no's to family members. Delineate your boundaries. Lock the door and commit to joining this free webinar. So, and the link is down below, all right? So let's dive into this project. I'm just going to give you a taster because I don't have that much time. So I'm gonna come back and do another video. So give me a moment to pull up the image of this temple vision I have been birthing over the last months. So here it is. This is an evening view, a dusk scene of this temple. And I give you a moment, or I invite you to just take a moment to look at it and what awakens within you when you look at it. For some of you, you may be very naturally gravitated towards it. It may remind you of a time that you once lived in. It may feel very fresh or new, like that, something that you've never seen before. Some of you may connect with it and liken to it to some natural forms that you've seen in nature. I invite you to imagine yourself like this person approaching the temple. And there's a series of thresholds that you cross before you actually enter the center, the interior of the temple. There's this outer garden with pathways and these acupuncture points, which are energetic artworks. Some I actually picture are producing free energy. There are pathways to the rest of the community buildings. And you enter in from this, you enter in through this kind of exterior wall, outer wall, past these two cylindrical columns that are illuminated at the top, into a courtyard in the center. And there I envision a fountain where you are cleansed with the sound of water. Your body, your mind, you take a few breaths, it's quiet. And there's no views out in a courtyard. A courtyard always helps you to prepare to go within. Islamic architecture is one of the most incredible examples of that. When you enter the courtyard of a mosque, it is a very special experience, especially when it's quiet and there's not too much noise and there's not too many tourists, right? So you enter into this courtyard and the architecture, she's starting to receive you there. She's communicating with you. And then you pass through this doorway that has... And by the way, I work very intuitively, so it's interesting to start to analyze with my mind after I've created something. And it's important that we do that, right? It's the bridge, the marriage between the masculine and the feminine. So you enter through this almost like this pear-shaped arched doorway with stained glass, turquoise, red, white. Maybe it'll be developed in with some more colors when it actually gets physically built. But these three circles are really like the three aspects of the human being. Maybe like what I was just talking about earlier, the subconscious, the conscious, the superconscious, or the physical, the etheric, and the astral. There's so many threes. in deep spiritual wisdom. I also see it as also like, are you ready to grow? Okay, you're at this height. Is your aura ready to expand to this height and to that height? In ancient Egyptian architecture, let me just see if I can pan this over so you can kind of see it with also the little buildings around. In ancient Egyptian architecture, there would be often you see the gods, select gods and goddesses at the gates of the entrance of the temple. And these are giant, superhuman beings. They are angelic beings. They're higher beings. And they have actually evolved to be that height. So in the spiritual world, in the energetic world, they are that height. They are really that height. There's a specific calculation. So I've seen in my visions beings that are like 14 feet, 16 feet, 10. So what is that in meters? I don't know. So very tall beings. So there's something there about the threshold. Communicating with you, this is a place for your spirit to grow, for your soul to be enriched, for you to be awakened. And then you enter into other thresholds before you enter into the central space. And I'm currently still working on the interior. I would love to hear from you in the comments what you see in the interior, because this is a piece that's I'm developing now. So I would love to receive your visions if you're open to sharing. The roof is made out of cast glass. You can take a look at the Baha'i temple in Costa Rica. I was mentioning to you about this has a cast glass structure. I'm open to, of course, it being built with other materials as well. And what else? There's my husband just came in, so I'm just, hold on. I just got to gather my thoughts here. So the windows in the roof are allowing, just because of the undulation, the rhythmic ripples of the layers of this cast glass that is forming the dome of this roof, you get light coming in from these undulations. And I've been very much interested in feeling the importance of rotations. And if you can see here, the base is rotated, it's alternated, but the top three roofs are not, and they're all fitting on top of each other in the same rotation. And I tried different ways to like trying them all rotating alternatively, but it actually started to spin, give a feeling of spinning too much. And so this is an example of, as a spiritual architect, for you to know when a form is doing the right thing or not. And there's still some details that I think when you're actually building this in physical reality, in physical form, that I think would need to be refined to make sure, to ensure that it's really doing its job to be an activator. The base is 3D printed hempcrete, and I played with the walls really expanding and contracting and forming a courtyard in the back that, you know, after you participate in some kind of a spiritual event or a gathering, a presentation, a teaching, that there's a place that you can unwind and chat and maybe have a tea and a snack in the back in the courtyard. So you're still well held by the building, and you're not needing to leave the space, leave the actual center, the building, because that would just be too jarring, right? For people, if they are going through a really powerful process, like maybe they're in a breathwork workshop, for example, then you want to make sure that, you know, they don't need to exit and enter from the main entrance all the time during that workshop, for example. There are elements at the top of this structure that also are resonators, activators. They emit healing frequencies, and but they also communicate with the spirit realms. That's something that I'm tuning into more in terms of exactly what kind of forms they want to be. But let me just zoom in here to show you. I mean, I would have never, if I designed a project like this in my university years, I think a lot of professors would have ridiculed me. I don't want to say that's 100% for sure. You know, anything's possible. I think some of the professors would have appreciated this, but they'd be like, well, why are you doing these ornaments, right? I mean, because modernism really wiped out any kind of remembrance of the sacred tool, the sacred, architectural tool of ornament, and why it's actually so important for our nourishment and well-being and our empowerment as well. So I'm going to leave it at this today. I may bring up this project again in other videos. If you have any specific questions, add them in the comments below in the YouTube section of the comments. And let me know. Has something awakened within you? Any lights flashing? Or do you feel like, whoa, this actually is like really weird? I'm open to hearing what you think, what you feel when you see this project. I'm excited that there's advancements in technology of natural building, and the 3D printing has a lot of incredible possibilities. There's also really beautiful experimentations, advancements with bioceramics as well. And I think it will certainly help to make construction of organic forms a lot easier. That said, we do need to be careful that these structures, these buildings, do not lose their human touch. And it's really important that we still bring the artisans, the craftspeople, the touch of the hands to projects like this. Otherwise, they won't be in balance. They won't be grounded, actually. When it's too high tech, then it loses its balance. And it loses its footing on the earth. And that's the voice of the mother. That's the voice of the feminine. That's the voice of the feminine principle, which we really need to bring back in order to build balanced spiritual architecture, like I was talking about earlier in this episode. All right. Make sure you sign up for women architects, landscape architects, interior architects. Make sure you sign up for the Unlock Your Spirit Architect Mastery free webinar. In the webinar, I share an amazing resource, which I typically don't share well, I don't share publicly. It is the Sacred Blueprint Sweet Spot Profit Map. And this is going to help you to position yourself as a leader in high demand and also break free from the grind and stress of conventional architecture and build a six-figure, multiple six-figure business bridging spirit with form. So make sure you sign up for that below. And for property owners and land stewards, if you are hearing the call to birth a community, an eco-resort, a temple, a school, a spiritual center, I know that you're likely dreaming about this vision. And if you've got the land and are ready to birth an optimal blueprint that's aligned with the energetics of place and that attracts abundance, vitality, amazing builders, amazing clients, amazing health, then we have a link down below in the captions for you to apply for a free discovery call with me to learn more about the Sacred Blueprint Design Quest. I work telepathically. I'm also able to travel. It is next level. And the Sacred Blueprint is the design modality that will help you to build your idyllic refuge with ease and flow and not run into the countless construction and permit roadblocks that people run into as a result of going through the conventional project planning model. All right, until next time, I love you all. Mwah. Bye-bye. Thank you for tuning into the New Earth Architectress. It is my intention to inspire more women architects to come out of hiding and unleash their intuitive powers to build a prospering architecture practice aligned with their divine calling. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review on iTunes, and share this episode with other women architects you know are feeling the nudges to bridge spirit with form. You can find out more about me and the Sacred Blueprint Movement by visiting AishaRoseMelodyHassan.com. Until next time.